If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Reality TV. It is great to be back. I missed you guys last week. Had to take care of some personal things and just take a minute to breathe, not too deeply during this time. But it's crazy. You know, I know we're all going through it, whether it be ourselves or family members. For me, just really heavy stuff going on in my family. But I'm here because we all need a moment to laugh, 45, 60 minutes to just let all the serious stuff off our back and laugh about the crazy shit that was on TV this week. And there certainly was a lot. This week, I'm going to be breaking down the latest 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days. How about that shower? Married at First Sight and Sister Wives, which means this week on Patreon, I'm going to be doing a double header of 60 Days In. And in the whole spirit of keeping things light, I'm going to do some deep diving on UK Daily Mail, blind items, you name it. I just am going to be looking for some really surface level, superficial shit. So let's just get into that over on Patreon. But for now, I owe a huge thank you to Abby, Lisa, Jill, Heather, Chastity, Catherine, Ashley, Paula, Janelle, and Shannon. Wow. I am so overwhelmed and so thankful. Welcome to the Baddest Apples. If you guys are interested on Patreon, I'm going to do a real quick shill because, hey, mama's got some bills to pay. So if you're interested in Patreon, $1 a month gets you early ad-free episodes like the one you're listening to right now. $5, you get early ad-free episodes, bonus episodes, and access to all previous bonus episodes, which I went through and I categorized so you can pull up whether you want bonus episodes about, oh, blind items, just love after lockup, any documentaries that I've done recaps on. It's easy for you to find. You can just search and listen to whatever you want. So that's over on Patreon, and you can check out the other levels as well. This week on Total Request Podcast, those of you who are signed up are getting double the bang for your buck because Total Request Podcast is Amanda and I breaking down only the shows that you personally are requesting. When you sign up, we give you an email, you send in the shows that you want us to watch, and you're getting 8 episodes a month. We're giving you a bonus episode each week for free, and you get your regular episode per week for $4 a month. That's 50 cents an episode. So head on over there. We're helping to support each other. We love doing it together, and we hope you guys love listening. So that is at patreon.com/trpod. All right, now, what has been going on this past week? Well, first of all, I definitely got into Tiger King, as I'm sure everyone did, and I love it. I have not seen the last episode with Joel McHale, but I do have one complaint to make. Actually, I have a lot of complaints, especially about that Doc Antle, that stupid, misogynistic piece of shit. But the biggest complaint I have is with all of us. If I hear, "Hey there, cool cats and kittens," one more time, I'm going to snap like Carol probably did on her first husband. The cool cats and kittens is like the 2020 "What's up?" or "Who let the dogs out?" It's gotta stop, you guys. It was funny for about maybe 3 to 7 days after the whole series was released, but not anymore. We've got to kill, not, oh shit, that was the wrong choice of words. I was gonna say we need to kill the cats and kittens thing, but we need to not euthanize it. We just need to put it to a nice tranquil sleep for now. Okay, I also got into How to Fix a Drug Scandal. And like I said, I talked about it on Patreon. I really loved this 4-part documentary. Amanda, who recapped it with me, did not like it so much. And I can see when you come off a high of Tiger King and you're watching that, it could be a little bit of a snoozer. But if you are into the legal system or court dramas, you got to check it out. I thought it was really good. I also had Quite an embarrassing thing happened yesterday. And because, you know, I can make fun of other people and I can also make fun of myself and laugh at myself, I'm going to share this with you. I'll just preface it with saying my entire right arm is so sore today. And I don't know whether it's because I decided to attack a 1,000 piece puzzle. I was going to do it with my kids, but surprise, surprise, I'm the one that's still working on it by myself. So I don't know whether I am that out of shape where a puzzle is making my arm sore, or if it was the epic trip and fall of a fucking lifetime I did chasing after my son yesterday down a sidewalk. So let me set the scene for you. My mom and dad live just a couple blocks away. They're not doing too great right now. So we're going to head over, keep our social distance, and just say hello from the outside of the door, that whole thing. So safety aside, we were having a lovely Easter day. Charlie just got this little hoverboard attachment thing that makes it into like a little go-kart scooter thing, whatever. So he's sitting on it and I start laughing because one of the little pieces just flew off almost like in a cartoon. You know, you could hear the metal like boing, boing, springs going. And there are families up and down the street in their driveways watching their grandchildren do their Easter basket. Again, everyone keeping their distance. So it's a pretty packed full house up and down the street. And I start chasing after Charlie because he's got things falling off. I'm laughing. And then I put my hands in my pockets, which I never really do. I never just walk with my hands in my pockets. I'm always at a very brisk pace. But of course, the one time I put my hands in my pocket, I also get my shoe stuck on that little crack in the sidewalk, you know, where one sidewalk slab is higher than the next. I probably did a very quick stumble run for at least 3 sidewalk squares going the whole time. I could hear myself going, oh, 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 oh. When I tell you, I catapulted, did a sumo death roll 2 times over into the grass, skinned up my arm, landed on my side. I instantly was laughing at myself. Of course, I knew my hand was like bloodied and bleeding and horrible. Charlie backs up his scooter, pointing and laughing at me. And I can appreciate that. I mean, he is my son after all. So I'm laughing at myself. I'm laughing at him. I look down at my hand. I see it's bleeding. I start laughing even harder. And the blessing in it all is that in this time of missing family and sadness of missing out on those special moments with maybe your grandkids, your own kids, I surely gave at least, 30 to 50 people up and down that block a really good laugh. Not one of them said anything. None of them pointed and laughed, but I am sure they're probably still laughing about it today. And of course, what was I wearing? Bright fluorescent gym shoes. I had on, I had my Ruth Bader Ginsburg t-shirt on and a bright yellow sweater as to really make an impact. And impact I did right on the fucking ground. It was amazing. It was one of my best. I just wish I would have gotten it on camera, as does my son, because he's telling everyone he knows. He told his class this morning on their Zoom meeting. So I got that going for me, which is nice. They definitely keep me humble. Okay, well, let's talk about one of the least humble people on the planet. I'm going to jump right into 90 Day Fiancé. I just was checking. I'm looking right now to make sure I got it right. I was just checking Instagram and Starcasm posted a little something about our Stephanie from 90 Day Fiancé. Turns out she was on one of those court shows. It wasn't Judge Judy. Thank God, because my judge, she is right up there with Oprah to me. But she was on some sort of court show, obviously fake. And she went on there as some girl named Larissa, who was suing an ex-boyfriend for making her wear granny panties. Obviously, it's one of those staged court shows. And the accent that she makes with her voice, it's like a baby wannabe Kardashian. She's a horrible actress. She's got blonde hair. You would never recognize her. Just go to Starcasm. I think there's starcasm.net. Or go on Instagram, Twitter, and they have links for it in their bio. This girl, I thought I couldn't stand her, and now I just fully despise her. So let's talk about this bitch this week. I really thought Erica was actually going to be the one to side-eye, you know, with the bright hair. Not that I mind the bright hair, but she's got a lot of look going on. It's a heavy shtick. But holy crap, Stephanie really might just be one of the most... She's not evil. She's just insufferable. One of the most insufferable people who have ever been on 90 Day Fiancé. And whether she played Erica to get on the show or not, you know, to pimp her stupid YouTube page, it doesn't matter because she's just a straight up bitch no matter what. It's always about Stephanie. You would think she was like an overspoiled, maybe only child torn between divorce, but she has a younger brother. So who do we blame for this? Well, Erica certainly is not the one to blame because this sweet girl, she stuck schlepping Stephanie around for another 2 freaking weeks. 2 more weeks. She's got to entertain her, make sure she's happy. And if I were Erica, I would have done the exact same thing. Call my friends up. Help me out. I need your help. And who comes to the rescue but Tyler from Teen Mom. He's back. And this friend, her name is actually Claire. She seems very sweet. She's able to put Stephanie at ease enough, makes her comfortable enough that once again, Stephanie feels that it's the perfect time and place to complain even more about Erica. Now she's annoyed that Erica has dated and slept with people before her. Cool story, Stephanie. I'm assuming you are, what, a virgin? You have no exes, no friends you've hooked up with? Right. Holy hypocrite. And here we have Erica just sitting there with those help me eyes, knowing that, again, she's got 2 more weeks of this bitch. But of course, Stephanie's not done. No, no, no. She brings it back with them to the condo. There are 4 main points of contention that Stephanie keeps bringing up. The first being she feels too much pressure to get intimate or have sex with Erica. 2, Erica couldn't possibly know how she feels because Stephanie's so unique. 3, she needs more space from Erica. And 4, she doesn't like when Erica plans for things to do. Well, Erica was so much calmer than I would have been. She had factual counterpoints to every whiny complaint Stephanie had. I am never that level-headed in an argument, so God, she needs to give some relationship counseling. She should probably take Ash's job, as a matter of fact. But let's go through it. First of all, they were sexting and talking to each other on FaceTime and however people have phone video sex. I don't know. I'm way too prude for that. But they were doing that all along. So naturally, anyone is going to feel rejected if you're doing that. And all of a sudden, when you see each other in person, you're totally turned off. You're not even holding hands. And if you need more space and time from Erica for things to slow down and cool off, then like what Erica said, why are you here? And why were you pissed off at Erica when she said she wasn't picking up and moving to New York with you right away? Stephanie is legitimately nuts, and absolutely, this is why she's single. I hate saying that about people because it makes it sound like you're less of a person if you're not in a relationship, but Stephanie's the one wanting to be in a relationship with someone, but this is why she's single. She's all drama, and that's not cute. I think some girls think that it's really cute to have this little victim persona or, oh, I want you to just swoop up and make everything all better. But that's not cute. It's 2020 with everything going on. That is the last thing anyone wants to deal with. Okay, Darcy and Tom, I'm actually going to go through this one pretty quickly because what's there really to say? Tom is a grade A asshole. He made a fool of himself, and that is the karma that is due to him. He is a Jesse 2. That's probably the only thing Darcy is correct in. He absolutely just wanted fame and attention. He looked like such a dork and a douchebag. 2 things jumped out to me. Well, besides, I think he got new veneers because his snaggly teeth aren't showing as much. His glasses look like he borrowed them from his sisters. If he's going to change his whole look and invest in a suit, how about go to Lens Crafters or Walmart or something and pick up a pair that doesn't look like it's from 1992 Laura Ashley edition. I don't know what the fuck those things were. And secondly, his tie was so short. I didn't see it until this week when he was doing that very casual walk along the, I don't know, Hudson River or whatever the hell that was. His tie, didn't even hit where, I don't know, above his belly button. It was like the opposite of a Trump tie. It was so short. It probably would be the perfect length on my 10-year-old. It was ridiculous. Such a freaking fool. I hate that guy. I don't think he's going to be back for anything. I think after that, did you put some weight on comment? The audience has absolutely turned on him. I don't think anyone ever really liked Tom, maybe in the beginning. But after that comment, there is no bouncing back. There is no woman on the planet that would watch that and be like, you know what? He's a charming fella. I would love to see a little follow-up on him. No, no, no. And I would also love to see how his sister responded to that, because she's not a small boned woman herself. She would go off on a man. She would crush a man like I would if someone said that to my face. And I double dog snaggletooth dare Tom to come back on social media and try to defend himself. He is absolutely someone I would break my own rules for, and slide into his DMs and tell him where to freaking shove it, because that shit does not fly. That is never okay. And Darcy, let's just get off this Tom subject here, because I'm starting to sweat. I'm actually starting to sweat thinking about it. Darcy, she's just got to help herself at this point. You know, she's only a victim to her own bad choices. She chooses horrible men who are obviously playing her, who are schmoozy, who have their own agenda. So before she can try to find a relationship, find anyone to complete her, she's got to complete herself first. And that is what I learned from the school of Ayanla Van Sant. Moving right along. Oh, no Jeffrey, no Yolanda, really. I mean, listen, at this point, we know Jeffrey is a felon. We don't talk about him. Yolanda, she's trying to catfish us just like this Williams was trying to catfish her. I'm done talking about Yolanda. It's stupid. But Avery and Ash, let's talk about these two. Actually, there's three people in this relationship, and it's not Ash's ex. It's Ash's man jeggings. Girl, you gotta size up. Can you even imagine the level of swamp ass after a day of touring the outback and going into swamps and rivers to go croc hunting? I can smell his balls from across several time zones. It's disgusting. I've never seen a man with tighter pants, and I've seen the Nutcracker several a time. And he's not hot. That's what I don't get about this whole situation. He's not funny. He's okay looking, I guess. I mean, obviously the eye thing. He dresses so strangely. So what is Avery's problem? Her picker, much like Darcy's, is so off. Avery's freaking hot. If I weren't a chick, she would totally be my type. She's got that cute little nose, very symmetrical. Or maybe I just want to have her body. Anyway, same thing that we've been saying all along. And I think her gut instincts are right on. She knows that something is off there, because no good mom, especially one who's got a very good co-parenting relationship, would be A-okay with their very young son just moving across the world just because. He's not telling you the truth, Avery. You know it. So call him on it and then run. Run fast and far away. And he wouldn't be able to keep up with you anyway because his jeans are too tight. He can barely walk. Now, guess who's doing a lot of walking? David. And he walks right on by one of the most frightening things that has ever been on television. I'm talking about the scary Ukrainian mime that was dancing all fancy free in the background. Did you see this? Mimes and magicians are the scariest, most murderous things ever. And I'm going to go on the record. I'm going to say mimes are hands down creepier than clowns. They want to be pale all the time. They all dress the same. They want to wear the striped shirts. They want to wear the suspenders, a little beret, no talking, because they don't want you to know that they're thinking creepy things in their minds. And why are they always so melancholy? You know, you respond the wrong way and you make them cry. And then if you laugh and play along with them, then they start playing peekaboo and shit behind you. And why are there no female mimes? Think about that. Sexist much? Why aren't we Me Too-ing mimes? Because trust me, every single one of us who has been in the presence of a mime has probably been violated by them, but we didn't know it at the time because they make it look all innocent. Oh, they're crying, or they make it look like a little game. Maybe they're just doing it for coins on the street or something, or a weird school assembly. Telling you, mimes are the ones to watch. Forget clowns. They've had their day. They've gotten their own scrutiny. It's time to take down the mimes. We got to meet you, the mimes, here. Anyway, I'm telling you, they trigger me. David is in full stalker mode. You see, Lana didn't show up, so he's decided that going all sleeping with the enemy is the surest route to find her and to her heart. But first, a flat tire. When the universe whispers to you, said Oprah once, you must listen to it, because if you don't, it starts screaming at you. And the universe was going full Jody about mimes on David, okay? It was loud enough that you could hear it over a space launch. Shut it down, Dave. Oh, but wait. Whoa, hold on. What is this? A message from Lana in an incomplete sentence. What? Well, slap my ass, fellas, and call me engaged. Pop the cork. She said she can't wait to see me. She wants to get married, get the visa, take some pictures. Man, I tell you, I don't know how I'm going to fall asleep after I jerk off tonight. This is just amazing. I can't believe it. Wow. God, David, it's so painful, but so enjoyable to watch. And as I was watching this last night, I thought that David would actually make, hear me out here, the perfect guy, the perfect client, candidate for a sex robot. Think Lars and the Real Girl. And I'm not saying this really to be funny or exaggerate. Legitimately, David is the perfect guy for a sex robot. He doesn't need any sort of real deep communication or theoretical discussions about anything. So forget the talking back point. He enjoys kind of a generic plasticky expression. He doesn't need a woman to be doing anything for him besides, you know. So zero effort needs to be made on the other person's behalf. He could have a whole collection of plastic partners by now, by the money that he spent on Lana. So I think he should just kind of maybe shift to a different industry out of the Ukraine, you know? All right, let's talk about Ed and Rosemary. Well, Ed certainly proved to be the creepiest pervert I suspected that he's been all along. I mean, I don't even want to know what kind of kink he's into. Definitely not the hairy legs. Probably more like, deviled eggs, mayo, two girls, one egg, something like that, because this dude is a fucking freak. I could not believe the level of creepiness that he had last week. How dare he ask Rose to shave her legs when he's walking around with a freaking grease mop on his head? How does he look in the mirror and think that looks good? I think he thinks it's like a sultry Jared Leto kind of flipping his hair around. I don't know what he's going for. Doesn't matter the color. It's the length. If his hair were short and dark, maybe, or just, I don't know, shave it all off. It's just horrendous. Anyhow, this week, man, we got a treat. We deserved what we saw this past week. He is sweaty. He's wet. He's nervous as hell. And he's realizing that Rose lives in literal dirt poor conditions. So he's not excited to spend the night because not only does he have atopic dermatitis known as eczema. Settle down, Ed. It's not that bad, at least from what we see. My kids have severe eczema and I know what it looks like. And his skin looks like the best my kid's skin has ever looked. So he's got to relax with this bullshit that he needs 1,000 thread count sheets. Go get yourself some triamcinolone, some prescription strength hydrocortisone, which you could get for way cheaper over there in the Philippines without a prescription. Anyhow, so he's got the eczema. He also has the gift from God himself to rescue Rose, to be God's gift to Rose, really. But first, hello, Father Rose. Yes, Rose's adorable father with the sweetest smile, the kindest eyes I've seen since Joe Biden. And he is designating himself tonight as the cock block. Thank you. On behalf of the entire TLC viewing audience, thank you, Father Rose. But I guess we didn't need that handsome fella after all because, drip drop, it's raining and Widow Ed is scared. Oh, the highlight for me wasn't even the shower that we're going to talk about later. It was seeing Ed flinch and twitch and shudder when it thundered. I mean, for real, my toddlers handled the rain better. And when the lights went out, that was the best. Rose doesn't even turn over. She just does like the mom thing where you reach out your arm. You're like, shh, shh, shh. It's okay. You're fine. You're fine. I'm right here. I'm right here. Don't worry. He is a child. I mean, Prince over there is sound asleep, but Ed needs to be rocked to sleep by Rosemary now. So the next morning, again, this was a gift, but to me personally, I enjoyed him just crying over a rainstorm. He wakes up, he's drenched in sweat, he's leaning against the wall, miserable, tired, but only worried about himself. The ignorance, the arrogance, really, of Ed to be saying how hard it was for him to spend a one night in Rose's house when this is Rose's house. You know, be miserable, but maybe take a minute, workshop it a little bit in your mind before you just throw out the stupid shit coming out of your mouth. Maybe just a better delivery would have been better. And let's talk about this little vacation. I don't understand why Prince cannot go with, because if we're believing Ed here, saying he needs to get to know Rose better to make it sure that she's the one and that she really loves him, wouldn't you want to see the real Rose, what you're going to see when you go home when she's with her child? See what she's like with Prince. See how you do with Prince. Life is not going to be a vacation once you get home. But Ed's worried about getting to know Rose better, right, guys? No, he's worried about getting to know Rose's vagina better. So hating Ed made watching him shower with Father Rose oh so much more enjoyable. The sheer horror on Ed's face when he had to disrobe and be drenched in cold water. So well deserved. And you think that he would have actually enjoyed that considering how hot he is? But he didn't. And I loved it. Bravo, Rose. Well done. Encore, encore indeed. Get that fucking hose out. She starts spraying his disgusting ass. And don't think for a second I didn't cackle like a real evil bitch when he dropped that soap. Ugh. He calls for Rose to come over. Rose, I dropped the soap, because he was scared. But trust me, Ed, you wouldn't even tempt the horniest guy in the clink if you dropped the soap. Even that rat was looking away. But that was not the end of it, was it? While on the ride to Father Rose Pig Farm, Ed, the expert conversationalist, the guy that's in the biz, does a lot of talking with people, asks a thrilling question. Do you enjoy living in the Philippines, Father Rose? Really, Ed? Yeah, he loves it here in the Philippines because, you know, the Amalfi Coast is too breezy for him. Maybe a little too much rain in Spain. And I mean, summers in Paris, they don't really impress him much. What the fuck are you asking, you idiot? The man's got no electricity, no running water, sleeps with pigs, and you're asking him as if he's got the luxury of choice. Get it together, man. Okay, now obviously he doesn't know what he's doing on the pig farm. He's slipping, slopping all over the place. I don't know if he was supposed to actually throw the bucket at the pigs or if he was just supposed to release the fluid or the slop from the bucket. I don't know if he's got like a grasping problem, but pretty sure he was doing it wrong. He probably made more work for the poor man. Jesus. All right, Lisa and Usman saved the best for last. Baby girl Lisa. Well, they're heading to the used goat lot, much like the used buffalo lot that David and Annie went to, and they're going to pick out a goat for Usman's mom. Much like Ed, I didn't think that Lisa could get any worse, but she did. She was da Bella da Ball at that goat market. Who the hell does she think she is to haggle with a man who seemingly lives and works in deplorable third world conditions? Even if that man was ripping her off, who cares? Lisa, $115 should be nothing to you, Mrs. Soja Boy white woman. $115 could feed that man's family for months. But here we have Lisa being so self-righteous. Oh, it was so hard to watch. She's being downright elitist in front of the entire market. Oh, I'm going to say really bad, mean things about Lisa. I'm trying to keep my swearing to a minimum until I really need it. But okay, this is one of those situations. Fuck you, Lisa. You can haggle in some cultures. It's expected sometimes. But really, really? Here, you're coming in with a camera crew screaming about your own white skin, and you're going to try to nickel and dime this guy? Am I the only one here who would have been like, here's 150, thank you, sir. I despise Lisa solely for this situation in this market. Now, let's get to the main event, meeting Mother Usman and the hope for her blessing. So Lisa arrives wearing an outfit and a headscarf chosen by Usman. Really, she has never looked better. Way better than Lisa's normal choice of, I'm going to say, like a St. John's Bay, maybe a Daisy Fuentes retired collection from Kohl's, you know, like on the clearance rack from a couple years ago. No makeup, though, because Usman said she didn't need it. Jury's out on that one, but sure. Soja Boy gets what Soja Boy wants in this situation. So they arrive at the home, which I thought looked pretty nice, and we meet Usman's mom and sisters, gorgeous, and I loved his older sister. And I also love Nigeria because, listen, whatever system this is here, if it's like the matriarchs or the women, younger sisters, older sisters, it seems like all of them, even the sister-in-laws, they all get to have the final word on marriages. Love that female power dynamic, but also it goes two ways because moms of grown men and sisters of adult men, they can be crazy sometimes when a new woman comes in the picture. But on the other hand, I have a son and hell yeah, I want to have a final say on who my little baby boy, my little googie bear, is going to marry. And I know my daughter is not going to let him marry some little bitch either because we don't do sassy, snotty girls in this house. So what I'm saying is I will have what Mother Usman is having because she's awesome here. Thank you for the goat, but no, you can't marry him because number one, you're too old. And number two, you're moving him far away from us. And number three, she was absolutely correct about Americans being racist. I mean, we do have a lot of assholes here, and she is right to be concerned about him. Now, Usman's older sister, she's smart. She totally knew what her little brother was pulling. He's pulling a scam. She smiled, and she asked him, okay, what are you trying to do now? Sisters know, you guys. They know their brothers more than they know themselves. And as far as Lisa being a doctor in the States, let's give Usman the benefit of the doubt, or let's just question this, because it could go both ways. I think it obviously leans towards him tricking his family, but do you think Usman was trying to be deceptive and say, oh yeah, she's a doctor in the States when he knows she's not? Or do you think maybe he just doesn't really know what hospice is? Maybe Lisa misled him a little bit? Because if they don't have hospice there or that word doesn't translate, her saying, oh, I am with elderly patients as they are passing on, he might just assume she's in the medical field. Maybe that's a possibility. And then this opens a whole other issue because, you know, I'm kind of going through this whole hospice situation with my dad. And I mean, her judgment in this whole situation alone and how she treats Usman and his culture concerns me a lot. I'm gonna just hope and pray that maybe she's a Gemini. She's got like two personalities. One of them on the job is professional and empathetic. And then there's the other one that is not either of those. Let's just all cross our fingers and hope that's the case. Well, I am back with an update on my favorite, Fields CBD. About 2 weeks ago, I went from the 1200 to the 2400, and my body and mind and, all right, my kids are so much happier. I am an anxious gal, and because I live in the armpit of America where the weather isn't always on my side, I can't always go for a walk or a run to ease my anxiety, and that is where Fields really helps me out. And I'm not the only one talking about Fields CBD being the real deal. If you listen to one of my favorite podcasts, Dumb Gay Politics, you know that Julie and Brandy are loving it too. Fields is premium CBD. It packs a punch without making me drowsy or feel high because you guys know I'm like DARE's most successful graduate ever. I just do a little dropperful under my tongue and 20-30 minutes later, I start to notice I don't feel that breathlessness, that tight anxiousness in my chest. It's gone. And last night I couldn't fall asleep because my mind was racing. So I took a little Fields and a few rounds of Candy Crush later, I was feeling more relaxed and I was able to wake up without feeling groggy like sometimes times Tylenol PM does for me. That is what full spectrum CBD that's grown and produced here in Oregon and Colorado will do for you. I love that I'm supporting companies that are here in the US right now because we all definitely need that. And I need my feels. Now, you can always reach out to me and ask me about feels because I have my own monthly membership that I pay for. I truly like it that much and it works. Or you can talk to feels directly. No gimmicks, no pressure. They're there to help you find out what works specifically for you. Membership is free and you get 30% off every month. You can pause and cancel, and they have a money-back guarantee if you don't like it. Here's the deal. Feels wants you to find the right CBD for you, whether that's reducing anxiety, pain, or sleeplessness. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member just like me by going to feels.com/realityTV, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/realityTV to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. That's feels.com/realityTV. Married at First Sight. We are winding down the season. A couple things I want to touch on from last week's episode that I did not recap. First of all, that house. Where the hell are they staying? It's the kitchen from Karen Huger season one Real Housewives of Potomac, matched with like a sober house or a Christian couples retreat house. The layout, the lack of windows, I was so claustrophobic. They had to have had some better options than this place. That was terrible. Whatever production assistant found that place needs to be fired. Now, as for Katie and her little spoiled brat temper tantrum, girl, this is why you're single. Yeah, I'm going to be that asshole this week that keeps saying that about women, but it's true. What the hell is her problem? And also, have we discussed how Katie could be a Lohan? Can't you see a young Lohan-esque quality to her? She's like a younger Lindsay with a weaker chin. All right. Now, Brandon proved to be the douchebag that we always knew he was. Didn't change since the honeymoon. Michael is a lying liar who lies very badly. And Jessica bringing her crockpot was the most on-brand thing Jessica's ever done. Don't be surprised if she tips her waitress at Applebee's on date night with Kohl's cash or Old Navy super cash. She's so Kohl's. And there's nothing wrong with Kohl's. God, I'm talking a lot about Kohl's. They should be a sponsor. She's just very down home. Like, she probably really enjoys quilts everywhere, not only on her bed, but hanging. And I enjoy a good quilt. She just has a very homey, old school feel to her. I'm probably digging myself a big hole here. Maybe that I could put a crock pot in. All right, let's talk about Jessica this week because she's actually starting to drive me nuts, although she's probably a very nice girl. I just cannot believe the huge deal she's making about Austin traveling for work. It is what it is. It's his job. And I get it. I have been there. It's not that bad. It really is not that bad. It's not the same thing as a long-distance relationship. That I could see where if you're living in two different cities, it would be difficult. But he lives with you. He's coming home. He's home every weekend. And trust me, as a marriage or a partnership goes on, you get in your routine and you don't even think about it anymore. And sometimes you even enjoy your time apart. And she's got to stop it, Ron, with the, when are you going to say I love you? I'm ready whenever you are. So are you ready? How about now? Now? Tomorrow then? Jesus. Real stage 5 clinger coming out. And I have to side with Austin on this one. Jessica is saying that she doesn't like his job because she said, I don't like that you travel. It's two in the same. It really is, Jessica. He can't make the traveling stop. And I don't know if she thinks nagging him enough is going to, you know, be subtle, like she's hypnotizing him to decide to quit his job on his own, but it's not working. She's annoying me and she's annoying Austin. That's not the way to get your way, is just to start getting pissy and badgering and nagging. And that goes both ways. I'm not saying that's just a female thing, because trust me, guys do it too. All right, Katie and Derek. Well, Katie saves a turtle. Or you could also say she took it out of its natural habitat and probably traumatized it. Am I the only one who would just pass by a turtle? Like, it's in nature. Isn't that where it's supposed to go? All right, maybe I'm the real asshole. Anyway, for the past few weeks, all Katie has wanted for Derek to do is to commit to her, tell her how much he loves her, go on crazy circus dates and write her poems and make adult decisions. But now she is the one who can't even make a cheesy promise with a dumb lock. Which is it, Katie? You want him to want you, or do you want him to chase you? Katie's dad knows what's up. I like this guy. You know, God bless a father who can tell his daughter or his son that they're acting crazy. Like, Katie will scare someone off if she comes at someone guns blazing about what she wants and what she expects and how they need to change without realizing that she's not perfect either. In every relationship, there's going to be a transaction. You know, life is full of transactional relationships. It just is, and it goes both ways. Now, then we get Katie ruining a perfectly cheesy fondue dinner. God, that looked delicious. With a, let's talk about what I need and what you're doing wrong conversation. Oh, this is going to be fun. Katie's got to relax, for real. Derek is into her. He went and made a freaking photo collage with real photos, with actual photos on photo paper. That's huge. Most guys wouldn't even know how to go about buying a frame. He's more mature than Katie is, but she's so mental and she's all about herself and her own wants and needs that she doesn't see he's actually probably further along in the evolution of emotions than she is. And this is coming from me. I actually thought Derek was kind of a dork, kind of a douche in the beginning, but he really is a good guy. I am rooting for him, just not with her. Now, Taylor and Brandon, for whatever reason, Taylor's still hanging out with him. Why? Why is she doing this to herself? Now, we don't get to actually see this because production isn't filming Brandon anymore because he threw that bitch fit 2 weeks ago, but Taylor just can't get enough of this guy. I mean, at this point, she deserves it, right? She's still hitting him up, so whatever heartbreak you're in for or however shitty he's going to treat you, you're asking for it. Now, Mika and Michael, oh my God, this apple-picking date. What was that? Michael is being such a sourpuss. He's chucking apples into the bin, and Mika wasn't that much better. I mean, she is better than Michael at this point because he's just walking around ruining perfectly good gala apples, but Mika's just like ordering which apples she wants. Oh, I like those. Get that one. You get your arm in there and you pick the freaking apple. It's not that hard. Now then we see them getting brown bag lunches delivered to them. Ugh, it's actually a really sad date. How did Derek and Katie get a winery and these two have to go do physical labor picking fruit? But anyhow, they get brown bag lunches and Michael picks first and Mika loses her shit. I still think Mika is super negative and she's always looking for things to nitpick on, but Michael's not helping the situation. He's still lying. He's still ignoring Mika and he's making excuses for it. Now later, Mika says something in the car about how she's the only one carrying the marriage, whatever the hell that means. I disagree. I think she's been incredibly patient, but I think Michael has been doing a lot of work. I mean, whether it's him working to kind of recover from his own lies, who knows? But it does look like he's been working at least equally as hard to carry the marriage. Now, then we learn that Mika wasn't empathetic or comforting when Michael found out about his uncle's death. I don't know why Michael is so surprised about that. I don't think any of us are. I don't think he should take it personal. She's just not a warm and fuzzy person, and not everyone is. You know, if you had an issue with that and your feelings were hurt, Michael, then you should have said so at the moment. You can't complain that she reacted a certain way when you are reacting in a way to pull back and not communicate. God, I'm getting drawn into their own relationship. All I'm saying is don't pout around for 3 days saying everything's fine, you're fine, when it's not. And then when she confronts you, you lay it out on the table that you've been pissed off for 3 days. Now, sure, they had some nice little dinner and they put some upbeat, snazzy music to make us feel optimistic. Like, what's going to happen on decision day? Sure. From day two, we knew that they were just incompatible, and that's never changed. Okay, let's change gears and talk about Sister Wives. Now, before I jump into the latest episode, the season finale, which was a big snooze, I want to talk about last week's episode because that is a landmark episode of any season of all time of Sister Wives. This is the Cody versus Mary therapy session. Wow. I have experienced a lot of therapy myself, and I have never been in a session where a therapist has to take a break for themselves. I couldn't believe it. Therapist Nancy, one who has crystals and dream catchers and Navajo woven quilts and things, she couldn't even center herself enough in the room without taking a break from these two. That says a lot. Secondly, Cody had a real smoking gun comment. He said of the entire family, quote, "None of us have a good relationship with Mary." He wasn't talking about just he and Mary, the wives of Mary. He was talking about all their children as well, because right before that comment, he was talking about their children and how all the other kids have relationships with the other moms, but none of us have a good relationship with Mary. Yet she has relationships outside of the family. That says a lot. That says Mary has the issue. And God, that had to feel good for Cody to get that off his chest. Now, I also need to be very honest here. After I watched that episode, I had a dream where I was marrying Cody Brown, and I was excited about it. In my dream, I was longing to marry the man, and I woke up in a full sweat. I don't know if I was in withdrawals from my Effexor. Maybe I forgot to take it. I don't know. But I was definitely troubled. The more I think about it, the more troubled I am, because even watching this latest episode, I found Cody really charming. I feel like he's getting better looking with age. He's got to cut that hair. If he were to cut his hair down in a normal guy haircut, buzz it off, he would actually be handsome. And the more he calls Mary out on shit, and the more I see how loving he is with his kids, you guys, it's happening. It is happening. I wouldn't say I am attracted to him. I wouldn't say I actually want to marry him in real life, although in my dream, I was devastated. I would just say that Cody is coming around to seem pretty damn normal. Like, he's with it. He's got a sense of humor. I think it's just the dark cloud of Mary that's being lifted. He's taking away her Eeyore energy and just giving it back to her. Maybe therapist Nancy told that to him. Take it off yourself, give it to her, let her deal with it. Whatever it is, he's never seemed happier. I mean, more stressed to a certain extent, but I'm digging it. I'm digging the new Flagstaff Cody. All right, let's talk about this week's episode. First things first, we got to discuss the mole on Janelle's upper lip. Sorry, you guys, I got to go there. I know that she's always had it, but recently, I think she's trying to camouflage it with some concealer. And unfortunately, what that's done is acted as a highlighter. And I'm truly concerned for her because I've noticed over the years, it's grown to be asymmetrical. It's grown, and as soon as you get that asymmetry, it gets dangerous. So I highly suggest if you have something similar that you get it checked out, you should be getting your yearly skin exams anyway. Seriously, you guys, we're getting older now. Get yourself checked out, especially you, Janelle. I like ya. Just get that little, thing removed. All right, now in this episode, we get two things. A rundown of the wonderful world of mortgages and membranes. I know, super fun topics this week. Underwriting and Maddie's undercarriage. What a season finale. I mean, I guess you did get to see some sweet moments, actually, especially between Christine, Janelle, and Maddie. We also got to see a little peek behind the curtain. I think Cody is the one really pulling the LuLaRoe curtain wide open because he wants us all to know the truth. He wants us to know that Mary is not the victim. She doesn't have a relationship with anyone. It's not just Cody being a mean husband. It's Mary with everyone. And we see that because look at the relationship between Christine and Janelle's kids. Obviously, Robin came into the family a lot later, so the relationship is different there, but that's telling. And don't think for a second that we would be saying that without Cody's blessing. Cody's over it. He wants everyone to know the truth. The truth shall set you free. And they're all living their best lives, very free from Mary. Oh, hold on. Anyone want to know the status of Maddie's cervix and her amniotic fluid drip, drip, dropping? Yeah, me neither. So I'm going to fast forward through the labor, which I really could not have cared less. Baby Evie's born and she's having difficulty breathing, but thank goodness everything is fine. the biggest moment in there where I was crying was not so much about the baby. I was crying because Christine was so concerned and so sweet and so attentive during her labor. I love her. I love the new, likely medicated Christine. She's just the best. She is a natural born labor coach, doula, whatever they call it. She was incredible. She was so calm and loving, and you can tell how much she truly loves Janelle's children. She's just the greatest. Now, obviously, I need to talk a little bit about Maddie and Caleb's daughter. She has something called a limb difference. I didn't look too much into it because, listen, everyone is born with their gifts or their struggles. We all have them, whether you can see them or not. And good for them that they're there to support their daughter for whatever she needs or doesn't need, right? Okay, moving right along. I'm going to wrap up today's episode with, once again, a very quick thank you to all of you for listening, for giving me this opportunity and outlet every single week to just laugh and not think about all the serious stuff going on in my life. Hopefully it's the same for you. It's just a little bit of time when we can step away from the real world and laugh about the crazy stuff going on in everyone else's. So thank you guys, as always and more than ever. Reach out to the people you love, maybe not in person, only over the phone or in text message. Do the best you can. Take care of yourself. Be kind to yourself and stay salty.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.